Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K. Tonight's guest is Janet Nohavik, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Well, Fran, I just wanted to mention that we will be having Janet Nohavik on. She is a very accomplished, you know, medium. Tonight is not the format for readings. She won't be doing readings. You're welcome to call in with a question about mediumship, and we'll be discussing her colorful life and her books and so forth. So if you do want to call in about her work, or you're certainly welcome, but not for readings. You know, a lot of I have read both of her books, and in one of the books she talks about developing mediumship skills, and I'm always curious about that because, you know, you hear it all the time. Just about every medium says, well, you know, everybody is psychic, you know, which
right,
I do believe.
Right, I believe that too.
But I don't know that everybody can necessarily develop, you know, mediumship skills.
I mean, I think they can, but, you know, and this is the analogy I use almost daily when people are calling into the office, it's like playing a piano. I've been taking piano lessons for years. I am not going to Carnegie Hall, but I enjoy sitting there. I enjoy playing it. I've learned to do it as best as I'm going to learn to do it, but I'm not the best. And I think mediumship is the same thing. We've been given the ability, basically psychic intuition, to be able to develop the skills of mediumship and open up those channels that are within us. I do believe they are within us for personal growth, not for monetary reasons of hanging up a shingle and becoming a medium. I think that's reserved for the people who are either born with it or somehow their life journey brings them to that role of a dedicated helper to people who are in grief.
Yeah. Well, I struggle with the concept. I mean, a lot of people definitely believe that there is a spiritual component to mediumship, and to some degree I think there is. I mean, they are communicating with spirit. On the other hand, I see, as you have over the last, 10 years, many mediums that we would term to be very unspiritual, you know, to say the least, not of really a, you know, good high standing character and morals and
just
so forth.
Just to clarify, that's none of our certified mediums.
Right. I mean, it's just like in any profession, you know.
Any profession.
But yet they're able to get information. So. You know,
right, but you and I are able to get information, too. So there's the answer to the question I am anticipating you ask, is that just because somebody can communicate with spirit, does that make them a spiritual person? Absolutely not, obviously. But somebody who's devoted to it, who's seriously devoted to it, understands the spiritual necessity and the spiritual background of those people coming through and how to honor that kind of a communication. It's not a joke. It's not, as I said before, it's not a money-making thing. This is something that's there to assist others in need.
Yeah, well, to clarify, clarify, it's not a money-making thing, but yet, you know, people that decide to do this for a living need to make money.
Well, they have rent to pay. They have expenses.
Certainly, we're not suggesting that mediums, you know, should not be charging, though. So certainly, they can't survive. You know, your mediums are entitled to their life just as everybody else.
Absolutely.
But you have to treat people, you know, in a dignified way, in a compassionate way, you know, with respect. The way I look at it is, you know, if you're an entity in spirit, an entity of thought, and you need to get a message across, you're going to find a vessel, a portal, and I wouldn't really care about, you know, necessarily if that medium, you know, meets a certain, you know, spiritual criteria. I'm just looking at it the same way as a radio receiver. You know, here here's some way to get a message across to my loved one, and that's the most important
thing.
Right,
but wouldn't you, and this is the argument that I always have, if they could find a way to come through people who are, or mediums who are underdeveloped, or even fraudulent, they find their ways to get through because they're looking for that portal, for that way to get that message through, then why patronize these people? If a fraudulent person can do it, you could do it too. So wouldn't you rather talk to your loved one directly yourself? Why go?
Yeah, but I'm not, but they may not be fraudulent. They just may not.
I'm just throwing them all into the basket.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's what you just said. If somebody's got to get a message through desperately to their loved ones, even just simply to let them know they're okay,
they'll
look for any opening to get through. I mean, look, immediately we always hear the same stories. Oh, the lights go on and off, this happens, that happens. They're all simple kinds of signs because the person so desperately wants to let them know that they're still around and they're okay.
Yeah.
But messages through a medium can just as easily come directly to you from them. Wouldn't you rather have that? That's my question.
Yeah, well, if you are, if they recognize you because of certain frequency or energy resonance, or, you know, but if you're identified as a receiver, yeah, they're going to come to you rather than anybody else. But I always look at it as there are these, you know, of course it has nothing to do with it, but I always picture like streams of light emanating from certain people, you know, to the spirit world, and those streams of light are conduits, you know. So whenever they recognize a conduit, they're going to jump on it. Now, I also think that, you know, going back to the other conversation, if it's through a medium that they're getting a message, I think that even though initially the spirit is thinking of the medium as purely a receiver of information, I think that there's a degree of comfort that they may feel in or resonating with a specific medium, and then recognize the medium's worth and thinking and compassion and love, and therefore want to get, you know, come through that medium more often. That's why.
Right. And those attributes that you just named are exactly what people should be looking when they go to sit before a medium, because the experience itself provides therapy for the grief, and good mediums know that. They know that. And we have very many mediums who have also taken classes and courses in grief just because they know that they're dealing with very delicate people.
Well, we're going to, these are some good questions that we're going to ask our guest and when she comes on. And so now's a good time to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to have a evidential medium, Janet Nohavik, to stay with us. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Janet Nohavik. Our sponsor is the Comlock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com.
And I do have a welcome them as a sponsor, and I do have their live spot, which is the Comlock Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Comlock Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and a teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced and the development of our consciousness. Visit us today at www.comlock.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Our guest tonight, Janet Nohavik, is an accomplished evidential medium who is also an approved overseas tutor for the prestigious Arthur Findlay College in England. She's certified by Forever Family Foundation. She's taken part in scientific mediumship research. Her background is not typical of a lot of mediums, as she was previously a Catholic nun and now runs the Journey Within, the Center for Spiritual Evolvement. Janet is the author of two books, Where Two Worlds Meet, How to Develop Evidential Mediumship, and Through the Darkness. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
And our pleasure. You know, I must admit, I mean, I thought I knew you a little bit over the past few years, and then I read your first book, Through the Darkness, and then I quickly realized that I didn't know you very well at all.
I understand that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you've really come full circle from your earlier life, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. I mean, very often mediums have, I find, you know, some sort of they're like just like everybody else. They have their own trauma, and sometimes I know you speak about being living with an abusive father, and you've had a lot of different trauma. In some way, do you think that compelled you to do what you do now?
I think in a lot of ways it made me more of a sensitive, because there is a lot of history of mediums that come from abuse, because this almost becomes the second sense of, living sometimes where there is a little bit of uncertainty. So, you know, besides using your inner physical senses, you use some of your other senses to decide what's going on, even when you're very young.
Partly because you're retreating into a different environment, like the inner environment?
I think an imaginary world, particularly where there's neglect, you tend to reach out for something else that's out there. And I think, like, you know, when my dad used to come home, and from my room I could sense if he was drunk or not drunk. So you're almost using your intuitive skills early on to discern what's going on. So I think it unknowingly helps with the gift.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because you were using your intuitive skills as a survival skill, you know, which is going back to what the ancients did.
Absolutely.
So, I think that a large part of society today, those that practice a formal religion, they have some degree of trepidation or guilt when they're taking part in what you might term paranormal activities. So, you know, with your background, working in a retreat center and then becoming a Catholic nun, I mean, did you go through major guilt pangs?
I think I went through huge issues with that. I think I had to, A, come to resolve that this was an okay thing to do, communicate with the dead, because, you know, if I do believe in an afterlife, I have to believe that what I'm doing is the right thing for my soul, if I'm going to go on from here. And
right.
I think I also had to come to terms with standing for something as big as we do here in New Jersey. And that leads people to a place where I have to trust I'm leading them to a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So major, major things. And then when I left the convent, you know, for me it was like leaving God. So, other things to face. So, quite interesting, major things. But I think everybody that, attempts to live a spiritual life, regardless of what type, comes to these places, hopefully, if you're spiritually alive, that you question, that doesn't fit me anymore. Because otherwise, we're just pretty much like sheep. That's never been good as far as, I'm concerned. You should discern for yourself what's right for you spiritually.
Mm. And, you mentioned in the book, you do give a lot of practical advice for mediums that are looking to develop their skills. And you talk about meditation. You know, you believe that meditation is vital. And meditation is a way of connecting to spirit. And there are similarities. I mean, when you were at the retreat center, I mean, you spent a good time amount of your time in meditation. It seems to be a spiritual endeavor, not is it not?
I think it is. I think it's and what it is even more is an attunement to the other side or the higher side. So as a nun, it might have been talking to God, talking to the saints, talking to the angels, talking to everything in that other reality. I mean, as a medium, we add departed loved ones to that. But I think the more we attune to that energy of a distant shore, the better a receiver we become. I think it's really key to mediumistic ability.
Yeah. Janet, would you mind taking a caller?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so...
Okay, we have Glenda from Florida on line two.
Look, Glenda? Hello? All right, well, we'll come back to Glenda.
Sure.
I have a question. You know, in your book, in the second book, Where Two Worlds Meet, when you're teaching about mediumship, if we define mediumship as the process or the of providing evidence of survival, then isn't all mediumship evidential by definition?
No. I don't believe it is evidential, because I've met a lot of mediums who give what is so so consistently vague. You could be a very vague medium and
well,
not be ever evidential.
True medium, though, is it?
Excuse me?
That would be an underdeveloped medium, wouldn't it?
It might be an underdeveloped medium, but it's definitely not evidential. And I think if we're speaking of intelligence, which we are, if I really believe in this as an intelligent process and the research that's done, I think, the more, very detailed information we get only lends to intelligence. You know, if someone who is a non-believer and really radical non-believer comes to this and what he gets is vague, he walks away, I believe, and says, that wasn't really very evidential. But if you give him a body of information that is really very detailed, it makes his mind churn a little bit better about what just happened there. I think there's a far space from vague to evidential in great detail.
Yeah, and that's why, there's so much, you don't feel it, I guess, because you've been doing it for so long, but there's a lot of pressure. I mean, you have somebody that's coping with the loss of a loved one, and they're really on the fence about whether their loved one could possibly survive, and they go to a medium, and the medium is giving them a lot of vague stuff. And then they walk away and they say, this is a crock,
Yeah.
The work that you do is so vital, and I know why you stress evidential mediumship, because I know that you recognize the harm that you could do if you're not evidential.
Yeah, and I think people really do want to believe, and I think the more we can train mediums to be evidential, people may give this one shot, and if what they encounter, is what we're talking about is vague and, there's just no connection, sometimes people just don't, they just don't come back to look at this again. And it's a shame, but, that's why I stress whoever I teach or work with as much evidence as you can get.
Okay, well, we've got Glenda back. We'd like to say hello to Glenda.
Hello, Janet.
Good evening, Glenda. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you.
You have a question for Janet?
Yes, I do. When you first realized that you have what most people would consider a gift, were you apprehensive? Did you try to fight it? Did you try to deny it? Did anybody encourage you? I mean, especially coming from a religious background.
I'm probably going to say some things that aren't talked about a lot in the world of mediumship. I actually had a lot of fear of it, and I really had to discern what it was that was coming to me. And now I really do believe it is a healing body of work. But I also believe that it puts the medium in the, particularly if you work at this full time, in an energy stream that you have to be very cautious of as a medium to work with all the time, because it's an energetic thing. So I think on a lot of levels, I really had to look at all of it really had to come to define for me that this is going to be done within a spiritual context, and it needs to be that, like the seers and the mystics of the old. This is a sacred body of work, and that's how I treat my work. So I really had to find for me and where I teach my students to place it is something that, if I really am a medium and my proof is a body of healing work with the other side, then it also has ramifications to me as a soul that walks this planet and as a soul that continues on. And I think it transforms me. There's a continuing evolution that goes on as I continue to work with my mediumship. It changes us. So it's huge. And I've had to discern a lot about what it means, the ramifications of it, and where I lead people to it with it. So I take it very seriously.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And keep up the great work.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Glenda.
I'd also like to add, there have been, if you look at Joan of Arc, who said, "I hear spirits," and was burned at the stake, would not denounce that she did that, and during that day, You know, she was seen as the lunatic, the witch. Now
yeah.
she's a saint.
Right.
You know, unless people stand for what we believe in, just like your organization, transformation won't happen. So how we stand for it as well is so critically important, you know, because it will transform how people look at life and death and their grieving process. And, you know, even just when I started 20, 25 years ago, you know, it was so hard to talk about death, you know, and it's such a natural part of all of our lives. You know, it shouldn't have all the fear attached to it that it does.
Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about, because, you know, we get so many inquiries from people that have some intuitive experiences and then they want to, you know, learn more. And the question, sometimes we get questions like, how do I know, how do I differentiate between my own conscious thoughts and the thoughts of spirit? Is that one of the beginning tasks to, when you're developing as a medium, to be able to distinguish between the two?
I believe everyone is intuitive, but I also know that most beginning mediums literally continuously say, am I making this up or is this real?
Yeah.
And it's only through a process of validation do they come to trust that it's real. So I think that the little piece of journey there is, I think it's just part of what you go through naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more you get validation on what you're bringing through and the higher level of evidence that comes through you, you believe yourself, you know. There's a friend of mine, Stephen Upton, who says it wasn't one message, it wasn't one reading that changed me. It was an overwhelming body of evidence that convinced me. And I think that's true of the medium as well, as they go through the experience of starting to bring through spirit. You get transformed. And people can't talk you out of your belief then, because it's a personal thing.
Well, we have another caller. Would you like to...
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we have Sheldon from California on line 4.
Hello, Sheldon.
Bob, how are you?
Good. And you're on with Janet and Ohavik. Is this Sheldon Staff?
Yes.
How are you?
Hey.
Fine, thank you. How are you, friend?
I am wonderful. You sound good, too. You have a I'm sure you have a wonderful question for Janet, too.
Well,
good evening, Sheldon.
Maybe an odd question. My understanding is that she does not charge for her readings. Am I correct?
No, you're not. You are incorrect.
Well, ask your question.
Well, the question, I thought, you know, I think I've learned from Jonas Salk, who did not patent his tuberculosis vaccine because he felt it should be available to anyone, and that when you do spiritual work, as he felt his work was, you did not make money from it. Well, the entire industry was very upset with his decision because in research or in mediumship, you need money in order to carry on, to pay bills, as Bob was saying in the introduction. So I found what to me is a reasonable way to resolve both problems, and that is, have a not-for-profit corporation and put your income into that, which can do good things.
So ask her to contact Jonas Salk and now and see what he has to say about it.
Well, I think you heard Barbara. Could she contact Jonas Salk and get his
take on that now?
His take on it now and see what he now advises.
Well, I promised Janet that we weren't, she wasn't working tonight as a medium or as an interviewee about her work and the books, but it's certainly an idea that Janet might want to consider later on. You know, as far as...
Bob?
Yeah.
Bob, this is Barbara. Actually, Shell has been actually talking to Jonas, I think, a couple of times, because we are friends with a friend of his who now lives in France. And I think maybe are you looking for a validation here from Jonas? What are you asking for, Shell? Oh. He surprised me. I didn't know he was going to do this. Well, what are you thinking of?
Where, I think a validation from Jonas that although he believes you do not charge for spiritual work, charging for a giving the money to a not-for-profit corporation would solve the problem and enable you, other mediums or spiritual persons to carry on, but not make a ton of money from it because they're immediately putting it into the not-for-profit corporation.
Yeah.
So you want to ask her if she can. Well, she's not functioning as a medium tonight.
But in the future, okay. It would be interesting if she sought out Jonas Salk and got his impression on the monetary aspects of spiritual work.
Janet, you have any comments on that?
Well, I have a lot of views on, that whole subject because it is controversial, I have to say. I don't know if you know quite a bit about the Spiritist movement that does not. They're big advocates of not charging, and they do a huge amount for not-for-profit, but in today's age, if you're going to give up your full-time work to do this work, you have to charge. There has to be a monetary compensation.
I do know that you balance your work, pretty well. I mean, you're certainly, despite the fact that you're very sought after, you're not, driving around in fancy cars.
I really do try, and I'm also part of an organization where there's a lot of demonstration of mediumship where there's no fee attached to it at all.
Right.
I remember the first reading I had, this woman didn't charge anything and spent 2 hours with me, changed my whole view of what consciousness is so many years ago. But I think that, sometimes that breakthrough is needed, but then I think that somehow, as you say, in this day and age, one has to eat. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you might be interested to know that in Janet's case, if I may speak on your behalf, Janet, spirit does come into play. I mean, there was an incident. Many times Janet would do a reading, and then she will not, especially if somebody is in deep grief, and she decides not to charge them. Well, she did that with one particular couple who had lost their daughter, it turns out they got into a conversation. And the man wrote a check for a huge amount that Janet was able to use to start her spiritualist church. Maybe that was a spirit.
I just want to interject, too, because clearly that's the Jonas Salk theory that Sheldon is talking about, because the money went to a not-for-profit.
Right.
Absolutely.
It went to a not-for-profit, which is Janet's church, and that church is open to everybody. We've been there. The services are absolutely lifting. They are the most wonderful experience we've had in a spiritualist church, and I think that's the Jonas Salk answer right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
I remember thinking, it's another discussion. I'm sorry. We don't want to monopolize here. It's just something we've been thinking about. Jonas. He was an amazing man, and as he got older, he got more and more into this whole world of spirit. And, of course, he was shunned by, the conventional scientific community because he had to follow his own intuition there, and he was an amazing man.
Right. Well, there's a lot of similarities here. Sheldon and Barbara, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. One of the things, Janet, I was learning a lot as I was reading, the book, and the subject of auras. I mean, when you're doing a reading, do you sometimes see an aura sitting, surrounding the sitter? And I mean,
I think it can work a couple of different ways. I believe the auric field of an individual who has crossed over. I think that presence is definitely there, either in private readings or, let's say, in a public demonstration, that becomes evident to me in the room. That spirit sense of us certainly does continue. So
yeah.
It's something I'm comfortable with. It's something I see, and it's certainly invaluable to mediumship.
But might you? I mean, I'm assuming that the sitter would have an aura, and then of course you have a spirit entity that might appear to you. So is that sometimes confusing?
It's not confusing to me because I think I'm, adept at knowing the difference. But everybody that walks this planet has an aura, and I believe that's part of the spirit energy. There's a communication with someone who's discarnate, and I believe that's part of that energetic field, just in a different way. But everybody on this planet, I believe, has an aura, and distinctly in four different levels, whether it be physical or mental or emotional or spiritual. There's different levels to the aura as well.
And so sometimes you might be. I mean, do you need to be, in a zone, so to speak? I mean, focused to be able to see somebody's aura? I mean,
I think some people can do that naturally, and I think there are some people that will seek to see auras their whole lifetime, and it will never happen.
Yeah.
So you can attempt to teach people, and some people will get it, and there are those that it's just not part of their list of gifts.
I guess... we'll continue this. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about some of the things that people can do to enhance their ability to possibly see spirit and communicate with spirit. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net. Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, EAAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Janet Nohavik. This show is sponsored by the ComLock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we know that not everyone has extra income that they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on Forever Family Foundation's website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 900 stores, like Adidas, Adobe, Expedia, Fandango, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is in full swing. It's $5 a chance. You can win up to 5 one-hour medium readings. You've got to be in it to win it. Go to the website. You can buy your raffles online at our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We also have to thank Kim Russo for doing Connecting with Your Child Across the Veil on March 30th. That event is filled. Visitation rights with certified medium Bobby Allison on April 20th. There are only 8 seats left to that. Our next event coming up will be after that, June 22nd, Dessert and Discarnates with certified medium Lynn LeClaire. There are only 12 seats at this event. And our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona, and will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. So save the date, November 10th and 11th, with our annual fundraiser the night before on November 9th this year in Arizona. Bob?
And thanks for staying with us, Janet. The what I wanted to ask you, and you wrote a bit about it in your book, mediums, you stress how while a medium is working, it's very important to keep that link established. And that hit home because after observing many, many different mediums, I find that sometimes the information seems to be coming through very evidential information, and then all of a sudden, it's nothing. It just stops. Is that because a link is broken?
I think that's true. I think, knowing your own energy and knowing when it's changed or where you've dropped it, it's almost like holding a radio channel really clear for a long time, and a lot of mediums cannot sustain that link or that connection.
Right.
And that's where you...
you train for that? I mean, are there specific things you can do to
I think there is, because I think there's a lot of mind training that has been part of our process that has to do with mind focus that helps you to hold that link for a longer period of time.
Hmm. So there is hope.
Absolutely.
All right. You want to take another call, Frank?
Yes, we have Stella online too.
Hello, Stella.
This is Stella. How are you? My question is, my partner passed away 2 years ago, and I've been communicating two or three times through a medium with him. He also communicates with me by setting off the toys and setting off my printer. So when he does that, I know it's him, and I talk to him. Like, you know, I say, I love you, how are you? And I talk to him. And I know he hears me, because after that I went to a medium, and they told me that he heard me, and he thanks me for all the love that I've been sending him. But my question is, do they heal? I mean, is there such a thing as the spirits healing from this?
I mean,
is it good
that I
do this, or should I stop?
No, I think for as long as you live, you hear until you see that person again. I believe, you know, if you want to maintain a relationship with them, it just changes. The relationship continues. I think all of this is a healing process. So I don't think you stop. And I think there are certain points in our life where it seems like it might not be as often. And then there might be times in life where things are going on and their presence is stronger. So I think it naturally, you know, fluctuates as life and time goes on. But all of it is healing. Excuse me?
Yeah, because I'm thinking they heal as well as us.
I believe they absolutely do heal. There's no doubt about it. And I think when people hear, you know, sometimes in a reading where there is an apology from one side to the other, you know, it's a release. It's the healing that goes on if someone, you know, who's the client hears that their father's apologizing for something, it still has an impact, whether it's between this world and the next. It's a huge healing process.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling, Stella.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. You know, Janet, you said something that was very meaningful. You know, you said that if somebody decides to maintain their relationship, and that's a concept that can be very healing, but it's also a concept that mainstream, you know, mental health professionals, you know, they seem to teach you the opposite, you know, to separate yourself and get on with your life. And, you know, the concept of maintaining a relationship is healing, isn't it?
I believe it's healing, you know, and, you know, my theory is, you know, and I say this again, I talk to God, I talk to the angels, I talk to saints, I talk to everybody helps me to get through this lifetime. And why would not all of my departed loved ones be on that list for all of my life? It's just simple. If I really believe in a communication with, you know, a distant plane that I think we're all connected to, you know, all I do is add those loved ones to that list, and, you know, and that will be, you know, and like I said, sometimes I'll feel my father's not as close for quite a long while, and then all of a sudden something's going on in my life and my father's presence is there again. You know, it's just living my life spiritually alive, I believe, connected to all dimensions.
Fran?
Well, we're stacking up the calls. We have Abby from California on line 4.
Hello, Abby.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Janet?
I do have a question, Janet. I'm wondering, do you find that you are able to connect with certain people better than other people? And to make that like a little bit clearer, is it possible that someone who's being read might get a really wonderful reading from somebody and then a really lousy reading from somebody else? And the somebody else that they got the lousy reading from has given many, many wonderful readings. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I believe there is an energetic component. To me, it's the best way I can say it. It's like shaking the perfect cocktail every time. So I'm a piece of the energy, the sitter is a piece of the energy, and the spirit is a piece of that energy. And that's why mediumship every time is so different. So it could be that energetically I just don't have a connection with the spirit. And for the medium to be honest and say that, you know what, this is not in the first 5 or 10 minutes, you know, a really good connection with me, I think is an honorable thing to say. And I don't think that happens all the time, but I absolutely believe someone can be a wonderful medium and not have a link with someone. And I think it's very honorable for them to say, you know what, I just don't have a good connection here. It's all energy, so
what about,
there has to be components.
What about, do you think that, my experience is that I find there's one person who seems to connect with me, and anybody else that I try to get a reading from, no matter how, you know, many wonderful readings they've done, that they can't do it with me at all. I don't know. Is that my only link to this one medium?
Hopefully you will find someone else that has a good connection for you. But I really do believe it's just an energetic thing that doesn't come together.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
As you say, Janet, you know, a lot of people don't realize that it takes a lot, you know, for the evidence to come through. There has to be a synergy of the spirit of the sitter and of the medium, and everything has to be in balance, so to speak, or otherwise it's not happening. You know?
Absolutely. And then you take the energy of the day. You take, you know, so many components go into every time a communication happens. Every time is really an experiment. Every time. And every one of them is different because the energetic components of it are different.
What about spirit guides? Does everybody have a spirit guide?
I do believe we all have. I do believe we have spirit guides. I believe there's a place for it in trance work. You know, I don't believe in giving it in demonstrations of mediumship because you cannot validate it. But I absolutely believe in spirit guides, and I believe we all have them. That walk with us in this lifetime.
What about, now I always envisioned that, you know, when you cross over, especially at the beginning, and you're adjusting to the different surroundings, that it's not an easy thing to be able to communicate. So do you think that those in the spirit world also have help? They have their own spirit guides that facilitate you know, getting through to you or to people in the physical?
Yes. I really do believe that from the other side, there's a great desire even on future levels of work with mediumship, that there are those people on the other side that are trying to make the circumstances right for different types of phenomena to happen. So I believe that just like there are groups of people here coming together to do this work, there are groups of people from the other side to help it facilitate it.
Right. So sometimes when mediums are in the process of communicating with spirit, might they be communicating with somebody's spirit guide rather than the actual loved one that they're looking to communicate with? In other words, might a spirit guide be acting as a translator in the other world?
I do believe that's possible, but I actually teach to not let that happen.
Okay.
Because I would rather be in the ray of the dearly departed that I'm bringing through, because I believe there is a way for that spirit to impress the central nervous system of me, the medium, which will make for a much higher evidential reading than if there are people who are intermediaries between us. So as much as they can be helpers, I would rather have a direct link with that person that I'm bringing through.
And we have been talking with Janet Nohavik. Now, you can find out a lot more about Janet, her books, and her spiritual center, The Journey Within, by going to her website, janetnohavik.com. That's Janet, JanetNohavec.com. And you'll find everything that you'd like to learn about. Her two books, Where Two Worlds Meet, How to Develop Evidential Mediumship, and Through the Darkness, are also available. There are some Amazon links on the Forever Family Foundation website, so you can go there and check it out. Janet, thanks so much for joining us, and We hope to see you.
Thank you, Janet. It was delightful.
Oh, it's a pleasure being with you and supporting the foundation.
Thank you.
Thanks, and take care, and we hope to talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Good evening.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen LaFada, Joanne Gerber, Lynn LeClaire, and CJ. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto back on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.